Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to this. It's a podcast. In fact, it is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. A podcast dedicated to rugby. It doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm here with Phil. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Jonathan.
How has your weekend been?
Good. Nice and relaxing in the Peak District in Castleton.
How delightful. You can tell us all about that later. Because down the line, we've got Tim Cocker. Tim Cocker.
Good evening, gentlemen, from the Egg Chasers TMO shipping container currently deployed in South London.
God, you've been doing some miles this week, haven't you? Or weekend, even.
Yeah, Dublin, Belfast. The Belfast, I didn't get to go out in Dublin, but I saw a great game of rugby. Went out in Belfast, and that's fun.
It's good fun, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, how many stories will start with the phrase, "Well, we were in the Dirty Onion"?
Ooh,
it's the name of a place where you just expect things to happen. And
question: are you allowed to tell me who you went out with? Which of the crew went for a beer?
Oh well, no, because everyone else was working on Sunday, so I almost managed to get Nick Mullins out, but he was being very, very responsible. Despite the fact he wasn't working on Sunday, he had a date with the in-laws, and so just had a social few in the hotel rather than coming out. And I think he chose wisely. Basically, some of the other crew at BT Sport have found out about my drinking.
Oh, really?
Thing. So yeah, I was like a little bit of entertainment being wheeled out.
A performing monkey.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I can do nothing but tell you how. I can do nothing but tell you how good Belfast is, except for one small thing. The taxi services there are third world.
You had a real thing with the taxi, the cartel taxi services.
Oh my God, they're awful. Like, you get better taxi service in the Congo than you do in Belfast. Well, but, you know, it is
some breaking news there. For anyone who goes to see those Pride Ulstermen, I can tell you they now have Uber.
Oh, yeah, thank God. Well, we'll tell you all about Uber and all the other regional taxi services. But before we do, go follow us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. You can go and see us on Facebook. We're there too. We're also on Instagram and some YouTube stuff now and again. So yeah
so, and he is at Jay Beardmore. I'm at Cocker, and Phil just stalks from afar,
doesn't he? Just
with a ghost account.
I'm a voyeur.
Yeah, quite. Well, why don't we start off with something quite light-hearted? I really enjoyed this. Not Freddie Burns dropping the ball, but the subsequent reaction to Freddie Burns dropping the ball, and in particular, the hashtag, chin up, Freddie.
Yeah, it is good. Good little hashtag you started there, Tim.
Yeah, I know. It was fun. Some of the stories are amazing, aren't they? So, yeah, the thought was, it's like, oh, God, he's just made a massive balls up. But the sort of relatable part of that is everybody has. It's just most of our balls ups aren't quite so public.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah, some of the stories were incredible. And I thought we'd talk about it because not only was your hashtag very, very good, it kind of highlighted something which I didn't really think about. So I was going to have a good old whinge today about how people basically saw the what happened to Freddie Burns, and then used it to say things on Twitter, like something incredibly sanctimonious, like, oh, watch out, Freddie, they'll all be out in force tonight, but you're a good guy, that kind of thing. You know, sort of like building up a straw man.
Yeah.
But a good friend of mine, who is a big football fan, actually WhatsApped me and said, I'm just reading the Freddie Burns tweets, like how supportive everyone is, and that, well, because he's a football fan, there was no like LOL or Di Mourinho or anything like that. It was just actually, it was actually quite refreshing.
It was interesting to get someone else's perspective, because reading this is exactly what we would expect from rugby fans.
Yeah.
Which is a few people being annoyed, but the overwhelming majority being kind of next job, focus on the next thing, don't worry, that kind of stuff happens to everyone. Which is what we would expect. But from another sports perspective, it's completely alien.
Yeah. To be honest, it wasn't even that bad, was it?
What, the mistake?
Well, it wasn't really a mistake, was it?
Well, it was.
Oh,
well,
I don't know.
Well, it was two mistakes. You've got to remember, one was compounding another.
Oh, so he missed kick.
He missed a penalty right in front of the posts.
Mm. And then makes amends by breaking through. Celebrates. He's kissing the badge and slapping his chest. And... He goes, he's so casual.
But if he knows whoever it was there. Who?
Medard.
I want to say.
Hugh Jackman, Wolverine.
No, I keep wanting to say. I can't even say his name.
Quattrono.
Quattrono. Because, of course, when I think of fullback disasters, I think of him. particularly in a Toulouse shirt. If he knew he was there, he would have scored. He just didn't know he was there. So
yeah,
that's why it is
a mistake.
I'm not having that.
So you don't think it's a mistake?
No, he could do that like
what?
He could do that like 100 times.
Wait, what are you talking about?
So you don't think it's a mistake?
No,
you're just being contrarian.
He just doesn't know, does he?
What's your definition of a mistake? Because there is a very big and broad definition of mistake. That is
okay,
it.
I'll give you a great example of a mistake. So everyone gets on Freddie Burns' back as a mistake. Actually, I say everyone, they don't.
Yeah, they don't get on his back.
Well, they don't. But everyone says, yeah, it makes a mistake. And yeah, maybe, kind of. But I watched Snotty today. And he's streaking in for a try. He's got two guys on his outside. He eats up all of their space. And in the end, the Toulon fullback comes in, tackles him into touch. Now, as it happens, Toulon's fullback tackled him high, yellow card, off he goes. In my mind, what Snotty did is far more egregious than what Burns did, because Burns could have put down that could have put on that ball. Try. He didn't see the guy. Snotty can see two men outside of him, and it's just the fact that the Toulon fullback messes up. And he gets away with it. But that, not using your men on an overlap, when you know those men are there, is far more egregious than what Burns did.
This is not a conversation worth having, because that is such a humongous balls up. Particularly, it's the context of the game. Things like that have happened in other matches when a team's already 30 points up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It quickly gets forgotten about. But this was the kick. And then this balls
the
up. I mean, it was like driving past an accident on the other side of the motorway. You don't want to look, but you can't help it. Just watching the replays, it was like watching a horror scene. I felt so bad for the guy.
And it is doubly bad, because not only did it cost Bath the win in this, it has probably prematurely ended their season in Europe. Because it is virtually impossible to qualify from your group losing at home.
Yeah.
It's they have to win every single game from now on, including three away trips.
Mind you, you need four wins, don't you?
You could potentially get through with three. It has been done, but usually four, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult.
He's made it difficult. Yeah, I'll give him that. But he hasn't just made it difficult. And I go back to this. He didn't know the guy was there.
That is a mistake.
Yeah. Well, if you have all the information available to you, you can make better decisions.
Yeah, but how about the planning for the worst, hoping for the best?
Just
fall down on the floor.
Get the ball down.
It's like, there's numerous ones. This is hardly a timely one, but I remember David Skrela trying to clear the ball from his own lines against Argentina in the opening game of the France World Cup. And he took his time just a little bit, a normal kick, took his time just a little bit too much, maybe, and an Argentine ankle taps him as he's about to kick. It's the same sort of thing. He just didn't know he was there.
Ben Botica kicking the ball away for Quins.
That's worse.
That is a bad mistake.
That is worse, yeah.
That is another mistake.
Rob Shaw going for the corner. That is worse.
Another mistake.
Yeah. So, look, it happens. And also, let's just remember this. if he hadn't have done that, if he hadn't been the player that he is, wagging his finger in the air, kissing the badge, so on and so forth, what would we talk about? I mean, these are great moments of the game. Do you remember Leguizamon doing something similar for Irish?
Yes.
These are great immortal moments. Oh, yeah. If nothing else, everyone will remember the name Freddie Burns for a lot longer than they originally would have.
So, Will Carling's one I like.
Yeah,
the Will Carling one where he's showboating.
I love that.
Trying to run it under the post and gets picked up and carried over the dead ball line.
I don't know why I think this. Was it the Canadian Lockheed that picked him up?
Mate, I don't know. That's niche.
was it against Leicester?
No, it was in a sevens tournament.
It definitely wasn't him then. It definitely wasn't
I think it was London Scottish. Anyway.
Yeah. So, fun and games all around at Bath, eh? Here's something which I also enjoyed about it. Is, like, I know everyone says it with the best of intentions, but things like, oh, we'll gather around him, Todd Blackadder, no one died. Actually, is that quote attributed to Todd Blackadder?
No one died?
Yeah, the no one died quote.
Don't know. I've not seen.
I didn't hear him say. I didn't hear that.
But. Well, he says it like, you know, but to the effect of, yeah, we'll all support him and gather around him and the rest of it, right? On the other hand, Todd Blackadder's actions spoke slightly louder than words.
Off.
Because he subbed him. And then whoever it was on the floor, when he's holding his head on the floor, someone shouts at Freddie Burns on the floor, like, what have you done?
Jack Willison.
Yeah, Jackson Willison did that. The Blackadder taking him straight off, I actually think that's the right thing to do. Because I know that Blackadder will have not done that to criticise him. He will have put his arm around him. And Freddie Burns, with those two mistakes, will have been absolutely mentally shot.
I'd kept him on.
In the last few minutes, I think you just got to get him off there.
I would have kept him on, right? Not only would I have kept him on, I wouldn't have let him come off after the final whistle.
make him do laps.
Wait outside for an hour. in the middle of the field.
One of my favourite moments of the weekend was kind of a reverse. I thought it was great, but it seems to have been met on social media with people absolute hatred. Maru Itoje doing the celebration with the Glasgow players.
I didn't see
when
it.
They didn't. So yeah. The whistle had gone, but Glasgow played on, scored the try, all jumping around celebrating. Maru Itoje obviously knew that it had been disallowed or the game had already been stopped. And so he starts going into the huddle, jumping up and down, celebrating sarcastically.
I do like that. It's something that I've noticed from Saracens, particularly the last 2 weeks. They are really antagonistic of the other team.
Sassy Saracens.
With Quinns the other week, they were really trying to wind Quinns up. And they were doing it in this game.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not seen Saracens for a few weeks now, so I'll look out for this. I was busy watching Newcastle demolish Toulon.
Hell of a result, that.
Yeah.
A result.
Did you boys watch it?
I was watching Saracens.
No. Were you at Saracens, Tim?
No. I was watching it.
Have you worked today?
No.
Ah.
I'm in the shipping container because I have to be in the south tomorrow.
Got you. Did you watch the Newcastle? So you're watching the Saracens game.
Yeah.
The Newcastle game is superb. For me, the best contest of the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's quality.
So it was 25-26 to Newcastle.
Yes.
But I don't know anything more than that.
Well, it's a weird one because, first of all, you look at the Toulon team. This is not a classic Toulon team. You know, so you recognise some of the names, like, you know, the French international, some of the French internationals. You recognise, like, Fekitoa, obviously. You know, so there's a handful of them. You know, yeah, okay, good. But then the pack is people I've never heard of, really. And I don't know if it's like never heard of in the same way a Frenchman has never heard of Callum Green, or if it's like that I just don't know these guys.
Yeah, there's a few.
Which
unusual names? I'm just looking at the team sheet now.
Like, so you recognise obviously Girardo, and then who?
Struggling after that, to be honest. Romain Taufifinua, I know.
Yeah.
Then you go into the bench. For forwards that I know, really.
Chockey played?
Chockey, Jacques Poquita.
Yeah, by the way, not exactly a huge name.
No. Huge book, but not a huge name.
Yeah. Last time I remember him, he was winning a Super Rugby title for the Waratahs.
Yeah.
So, you know, not a great team, but, you know, nevertheless, it is Toulon at home. Newcastle just played with a lot more energy. And their line speed, I mean, their defence was particularly good. I thought Ben White... Head? Is that the name of the ref? Is there a Ben Wyatt? Anyway, Ben had a super...
The worst chap.
Yeah, now, I think he got a lot of criticism if he was in charge of Leinster Munster a few weeks back, or last week, if it was him. But I thought he had a great game, because every decision, it felt like, had to go to the TMO, because it was one of these, like, slightly too high tackles, or, you know, something had happened. Then he dealt with everything rather well. And Newcastle, in the end, just outdogged Toulon. Toulon seemed to have, you know, the better of the possession when they had it. But Newcastle came out on top. It was quite impressive.
Well, let's touch on the officiating more broadly then. Like, just as a broad thing, how do you feel about it across the whole weekend? I'm in one of those situations where I haven't seen probably as much rugby as you guys, because travelling's been involved. But I've caught up with as much as I can. But it appears to me that it was mixed.
So one observation, and it was repeatedly mentioned in comms, was that the refs are going to be... stricter around high contact with the head, but also clearing of rooks and rolling or any contact with the head in that, and guys going off the feet.
Yeah,
and I think they were to an extent, although it was probably a little bit inconsistent.
Yeah, I'll give you a great example of that. Bath and Jerome Kano, and an almost identical tackle, which was on... Snotty by the winger from Toulon, who we all know, the big...
Surveyor.
No, the other one.
Tuisova.
Tuisova, right. Almost identical, I would say. And I think Ben Whitehead got it spot on to the letter of the law, but I don't think the Kano one was wrong. I think you might like this one, boys, because we've been talking about, you know, reffing to the spirit of the law. Well, I actually think that was in the spirit of the law, but not the letter of the law, because they are trying to get rid of high shots, both players upright.
So you're referring to Kano on Jamie Roberts?
Yeah.
Where Roberts was knocked unconscious, Kano received the yellow card for it. So you're saying spirit of the law is probably right, but letter of the law should be read?
No, letter of the law. I don't think his shoulders touch his head. But
I think it does. I couldn't see a good angle that it does, but it must have, because Jamie Roberts was knocked out.
Well, I mean,
you can be concussed without contact to the head.
Yeah. It's like a whiplash effect.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, in fact, there is data coming out of America, I think, via the NFL, that can be early data. I think I was reading an article and saying that it could be as dangerous as a direct headshot.
Brilliant.
in some. Maybe not as much, but definitely there are lots of cases where you're getting this.
Yeah, we know exactly what you mean. Well, look, if Jerome Kano is hitting you as hard as he can with a run-up, and you also are 18 stone or whatever Jamie Roberts is, you know, bad things are going to happen.
There's a hell of a lot of force in that tackle.
So, I mean, the guess point is, their heads were basically the same level. The shoulder, I think, was fractionally below. If you were going to literally take it line by line in the law, I think it's a legal hit, but that's the sort of hit they want out of the game. And that's why
we had another one of those deliberate knock-ons that got a card. I've said it all last week, so I won't repeat myself. But
Andrew Hodgson too, he got called with the same thing.
Sopawanga one.
That was harsh.
So when I first watched it, I thought it was harsh. So, and then I reread the law book, and it does say the law states you've got to have intended to have knocked it on, but then the subsequent line is, or you had no reasonable expectation or reasonable chance of catching the ball.
Yeah.
And Sopwanga, his immediate reaction afterwards was to look like he almost caught. He was so close. But actually, when you watch
it
again,
he did knock it up, didn't he?
Actually watch it again, he was nowhere near. I mean, he was like full arm's length stretch.
So what do you think about...
So if you apply the letter of the law, that was the correct decision.
So what do you think about the argument about the ball being passed forward?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I clocked that on the evening. At the time, I was stood right next to Craig Doyle and said, check it. But and then there was chat going on on the side of the pitch. But that was, because Sopawanga would not have been able to have got his hand to that ball had it been a legal pass.
Yeah. So if you're a really good fly half, you want to draw a card, you've got to forward pass it just enough. Yeah, to make him click. Clever, that, isn't it? No wonder they're the best team in Europe.
Yeah. Well, the other part I'm just going to go on to make about the reffing, and specifically the refereeing of the ruck. So they were a bit more careful generally on people going off their feet, people diving in, and people being a bit reckless around the ruck. But if you need, if you're going to clear it up, the one thing that still isn't being officiated is people not supporting their body weight or support, using their hands to support their body weight, which is something that leads to people having to go in absolutely full force.
So have I told you how I intend to sort this out?
We did mention this last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
but
the rule should be anything... You can't support your own body weight using the ground, only another player.
But then that creates a problem, as I mentioned the other week, where someone's going to be trying to push against 40 stone because the guy on the floor, the guy on his feet is holding onto the guy on the floor.
Yeah, so the answer to that is don't push.
But then you give a penalty away.
Sorry, I'm confused now.
So ball's on the floor.
Yep.
I'm a defender.
Yep.
I'm jackling over the top.
Got it.
I'm supporting the guy on the floor.
Yep.
But I'm holding onto the guy on the floor.
But what about when you use the guy on the floor to support yourself underneath your knees? Does that make sense? So I'm kneeling on him.
Yeah. So that's, again...
Well, you can't jackal, effectively. You just simply
all of this. The simplest answer to this is all of this happens every single ruck.
It does.
And it's a magic eight ball whether they decide. And I think the material effect of it all is stuff happens all the time, but if the ball comes back in reasonable time, just crack on, please, just play the game. But it's when it's done cynically and when it slows down the attacking intent and possibilities of a side, that's when it needs to be officiated.
I agree with that. But do you know what? If that was done today, Cardiff wouldn't have won. Because Cardiff at some point today decided, let's throw out all our ability to defend, because we're not going to beat these guys with big shots, but let's really attack the breakdown. So every breakdown, there are two guys jackling for the ball. I'd be amazed if every time they were always on their feet, and they had tremendous success with it. Now, that allows a smaller team, to be able to get over the ball, turn it over and play. So if you get rid of the jackal or you change the rules so it's harder to jackal...
They have done.
Yeah, so the problem being is then you're going to have to win the ball back via collision, and we don't want collision. Does that make sense? Because you're going to have bigger guys. Smaller guys that are jackaling.
Guys who are lower to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, not necessarily smaller, because someone like...
Francois Lowe would be a good example.
Francois Lowe.
Pocock's an absolute unit.
I'm thinking more someone who's like 20 stone, like Mako Vunipola.
Right. So there are two sorts of jacklers. There's the big bodied kind of prop. Dan Cole was so Dan Cole this week, by the way. and then there's like the typical seven, like the whole of the Cardiff back row who could jackal.
Yeah. And they deliberately selected a back row that was effectively three sevens to try and, speed up the game on their ball, but slow down and turn over the game on Leon's ball.
Phenomenally successful. They hammered Leon in that breakdown.
Astonishing result.
Just briefly on the officiating, what did you make of the end of the Exeter-Munster game?
I can't remember it, although I did see it. Remind me, how did it go?
Yeah, well, I watched it.
It reminded me of that Wasps-Newcastle game the other week, where you just had this feeling that no matter what happened, there was no penalty.
With you.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It did end up with an Exeter knock-on, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really close to the line.
So close after them going 40 or 50 yards, doing what Exeter did do so well. So that was you mentioned the Toulon Newcastle as one of the closest games of the weekend. That Exeter-Munster game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of the points... It was absolutely brutal. It was brilliant. It was brutal. It was a hell of a performance by Munster to do what they did. Hell of a defensive shift. And a hell of a defensive shift from Exeter as well.
Yeah, they did well, because with the wind in the first half, they would have been... I feared for them. I thought they were going to lose. But the one thing it fascinates me about Exeter is the body shape of their guys. They all have like really big backsides. Like power. Like that's where all that power comes from.
That's true, it is.
I don't know whether they've picked guys that are of this or whether they've cultivated this. Ewers, Armand.
Simmons is the same.
Yeah, Simmons is the same. The powerful like core and rump they've got.
That's literally what you need.
Even in the backs. So Witten and Woodburn, for example. Yep. Maybe not someone like Slade, but Witten and Woodburn. And even Stu Townsend, he's got a big old rump on the boy.
Well, you'd have to ask, you have to ask the question, like, how much utility is superb upper body strength? I mean, it's useful in some things, sure. But actually, if you think about it, where are you going to put all your effort, all your gym time? It probably is legs.
Oh, yeah. Biceps and bench presses for show in rugby.
Mm.
It's all about glutes, hammies, quads.
Fitness.
And they have massive glutes. They really do.
Yeah.
They could probably release a fitness DVD that like teenage girls would probably buy.
Well, funny enough, Tim.
The bikini booty body workout.
Yes, I was going to say,
exactly.
My friend Steve.
this is about the 10th time we've told this story on the podcast.
I want to hear it again, though.
Yeah. Funny enough, my friend Steve actually stole his girlfriend's workout plan because he was too tight to buy his own workout plan. And I think it was actually named the Bikini Booty Body Workout.
It should have been renamed the Exeter Chiefs Back Row. Booty Body Workout.
By the way, joke on us when he comes back into the first team. Absolutely amazing.
Takes 2 seconds off his 100-metre time.
Oh, right. Maybe it did work.
And I've got to say, by the way, Rob Baxter never fails to impress me. And the way he spoke after that game was absolutely brilliant. Taking it on the chin, diffusing any potential controversy. Loved it.
Because there were a few contentious moments. Some of the refereeing decisions around the breakdown, in both directions, I think. I think it equaled itself out. But I'm sure there were fans of both teams complaining about individual decisions. And the Conway charge down, the over-enthusiastic charge down on Steenson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah!
There was a lot of people calling for a card on Twitter. I'm actually surprised there wasn't a card, in all honesty, because it's the kind of thing, it's like cynical, unsporting play, and it's reckless, and it's the kind of thing we're trying to get out of the game. But Baxter cut through all of that, and yeah, he was very magnanimous, and the usual Rob Baxter that you come to love and expect.
It is disappointing for Exeter, though. You can't get away from that. I mean, they've really targeted this competition this year. First game of the season that they've not won.
Correct.
I know he's not particularly rattled by it, but maybe they should. Maybe they should be, because they really wanted this game. And there's going to be teams which are a hell of a lot better than Munster.
Well, they've got two away games. They don't have to go to Toman Park until the last game. And I'm sure they will be thinking, let's get the job done before then. Because if they have to go to Toman Park and get a result, they're going to be in a bad place.
Yeah. So who's in the... Isn't it Gloucester?
Gloucester. Yeah.
So I'd fancy... Now, go on.
I was going to say, can I just pick up on something that I read a few times in a few newspaper articles whilst I was in Ireland?
Ooh. From the writers, yes. Irish writers.
There was a lot of... It's the way they describe the financial side of the game.
Okay.
I have an issue with.
Okay.
Because there were phrases like... there was this article previewing the game and talking about Wasps, and it said, the expensively acquired Brad Shields, and making a point of saying how much... Lima Sopawanga, who's exchanged his hope of playing for New Zealand for bags of cash. There seems to be a huge amount of emphasis put on this money bags England tag. And I was in awe of that Leinster performance, but looking at the side and thinking, there's no way they're paying less for their squad. Their massive squad.
Yeah, but it's all subsidised by Ireland too.
I know, but that's why I'm saying, I just think this... It's fine. I'm not begrudging it or saying that it's bad or anything. I'm saying that I think Leinster and Ireland are doing a great job, and if they can get the other provinces working as well. My point is that just stop this whole money bags England and France thing, because it's a narrative which has been running for a while, and I just don't believe.
It does feel a bit hypocritical, because, for example, when Sexton went to Racing and was one of the highest, if not the highest at the time, paid players in the top 14... And he didn't come back for a pay cut. So it does feel a little bit hypocritical. Yeah. Although they have, like, everyone has recognised and repeatedly recognised just how good their youth development and their selection and all that is.
I mean, there's so many things going on. Is it cheaper to keep the players that you develop rather than buy them?
Always.
That's undoubted. they are amazing rugby outfit. And it's not just, by the way, it's not just the players. It's not just the fact they've got 27 players. I mean, if you look
at the rest.
Yeah.
Sorry. I meant 27. 55? I meant 27 internationals. My mistake. They've got far more than 27 players. It's the fact that they use them correctly and that they're a good team. Think about someone like Jack Conan. Jack Conan's a good player, right? World's best eight? Probably not.
No.
As good as Nathan Hughes. I know he didn't play. But probably not. But he's a really, really good eight for that whole system. It's more than just having 27 great internationals. It's,
of course,
it's a wider team. Now, interestingly, I'd like to flip that on its head, because a lot of Leinster fans were bemoaning that. They were moaning about the moaning of the Premiership teams, and the Premiership fans said, oh, it's not fair, you know, Leinster rested all their players. I said, no. Leinster didn't rest their players, or no more so than Wasps, because for appearances, Wasps and Leinster are pretty much on the same across the first 15. Does that make sense?
As in games played this season.
Games played this season by the 15. No, it isn't rubbish, Tim. It's exactly the same. But because the numbers are the same, doesn't mean the reasons are the same.
No, the total number of appearances in the Leinster 15 on Friday night is in total. Hold on a minute. Let me get this right. No, over what period was it?
There was season, isn't it?
Yeah, it was over. I think, was it last season? I'll try and remember the stat, but it was an incredibly low number.
Yeah, so
relative.
Yeah, I completely agree. So it is.
I can't remember the stats, so I won't give a false one in case it's wrong. Anyway.
Right, so, well, the argument was, Wasps have got as many first-team appearances this season as Leinster, or very close. But the reasons are very different. Whereas Leinster are busy, you know, getting ready, in peak condition, rotated, so on and so forth. You know, basically, you know, just conditioning for big games. The reasons the Wasps guys haven't had much time is, well, some of them haven't joined the team.
Some of them are joined late.
Yeah, some of them are injury replacements.
Yeah.
Some of them were injuries coming back. You know, they're completely different setups. But that's the whole point of the Hiding Cup. The whole point of the Hiding Cup is you get teams from different setups and different, you know, different structures of how they play, and you see who wins.
I mean, yeah, that's absolutely. It. No, and it's amazing. And we can talk about the positives in the performance. I just hope that this narrative can stop, because on the very same day that I was reading this article saying the expensively acquired Brad Shields, it was also like, oh, Conor Murray signed a 3-year extension to his Munster deal for a, like, the rumour is over £2 million across those 3 years.
Good for him.
Good for him. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's putting the national team first, and it's really, really working. And Johnny Sexton in 2 years playing 7 Pro 14 games is the sort of thing that New Zealand have done. And the sort of thing you need to do with your star players to win a World Cup. And that's where the focus is. And I just wonder, it's interesting, like, the Premiership teams are going to need bigger squads, because they can't go into Heineken Cup games and compete.
But the thing is, the argument, in my mind, is not so much... Well, it is about resting the players. But does the intensity of the Premiership create better teams? That's obviously been tested greatly now because of the strength of some of the Pro 14 teams, which are subsidised by the unions. But that's fine. You know, that's exactly why we play the Heineken Cup, to work out which structure works better. It was 40 combined appearances for Leinster. Starting 15 have combined 50 Pro 14 appearances.
Say that again, sorry.
So Wasps have 48...
Three games.
So Wasps have 48 combined Premix appearances.
So that is their starting 15 this season. Because you've got guys like Brad Shield, who started one game, Willy LaRue started one game, Sopwanga started...
Go on. And 50 for Pro 14 appearances for Leinster.
Yeah, it's not a long enough study to be able to... No. It's not a long enough period to... Because like you say, Leinster haven't been ravaged by injury in the way that Wasps have, so it's not a like for like comparison.
Injury,
which is the point you were making.
Yes, exactly.
Injury and suspension, which is maybe a good time to go on to the Nathan Hughes.
I want to continue with Brad Shields, the expensively acquired Brad Shields, because I think the Irish are on something here. And I think I'm going to use the moniker expensively acquired Brad Shields quite regularly now. He had more missed tackles than anyone else in the Wasps team. I felt on Friday there were some Wasps guys that did phenomenally well. I don't really remember seeing Brad Shields, do you?
Not particularly.
Because there's some lads in there who were awesome. Tommy Taylor was immense. Thomas Young, immense.
Yeah, Tom Young coming back was very good.
But Brad Shields, for all the money that they spent on him, had more missed tackles than anyone else, and a particularly low, I think it was nine completed, four missed, something like that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Can I just, one observation from that game, like I'm in a privileged position where I get to stand near the tunnel, so see the players at half time. I have never, ever seen players breathing as heavy as the Wasps players were at half time.
Really?
Well, never. They were sucking in oxygen. Like it was like their heart rates must have been pretty much near maximum, because they were all, their chests were going up and down, up and down. I've never seen it any other team quite like that at halftime.
Well, they'd only conceded two tries in that first half, and one right at the end of the half. But the amount of defensive work that they had to do, and they just never seemed to be able to properly clear their lines.
Yeah,
they'd put in a brilliant defensive shift, eventually turn the ball over or snaffle it or force a knock on, whatever it was. Clear their lines, and then immediately was just coming back, and it was wave after wave after wave. And the stats, like 25 minutes, they'd made something like 85 tackles.
Yeah,
156 tackles in the first half, I think it was.
You just knew. You were looking at the stats, and you're right, it might be 7-3 on the scoreline now. This is, the dam is going to burst, and it's just going to be a free-for-all, because Wasps are going to be absolutely spent.
Yeah, so Tommy Taylor, 26 tackles. Two missed.
And he was only on for 55 minutes, I think.
Will Rowlands, 23 tackles, zero missed.
Will Rowlands is a very handy player.
Bloody hell, that's good. Brad Shields, 15 tackles made, five missed.
I really don't like... I have a big issue with this whole missed tackle
love
thing.
Because love them.
It's the number. And second rows and props and hookers make the majority of their tackles. Around the guard position. And they're usually done by people that are trucking straight into them.
Yeah,
so,
fine. But
Tim... This suits JB's narrative.
Well, no, it's just interesting. I always, that's the first thing that I look at. How many tackles someone's made, and then how many missed tackles. Love it.
I remember our coach at university, Bath Uni, it was a Wales A player back in the day, Yestin someone. Anyway, he was our coach, and he loved the stats. He used to get the non-playing players taking stats. And I thought I had an absolutely terrible game in one booster match. And we had our team meeting on the Monday or the next day. And he brought up the spreadsheet with the stats, and I was man of the match.
Oh, congratulations.
Because my numbers look
hang
good.
Hang on.
Which just,
have you just
ever since then I've gone, it's just... No,
is that a humble brag?
Yeah, but it doesn't tell a
in
story.
In my worst ever game, I got man of the match.
That is such a humble brag.
That's ridiculously humble brag. That's the worst humble brag I've ever heard.
I used to actually quite enjoy it when we had Clive Griffiths coaching at Sedgley, and he introduced stats from it. For everything, for every game, and there was no place to hide. You'd have video sessions, and it did piss players off.
Yeah, I bet.
Really pissed players off, but I quite enjoyed it.
Oh, well, strangely enough, I did a video session this week, would you believe it, with Sale FC. And they're using most of the Sale Sharks sort of analysis type procedures now. And that was really, really interesting.
Are you going to start using them at Toc H?
I don't think so, no. No. It looks like a lot of work to go through this stuff.
It is a lot of work to compile all that data.
Mm.
So,
but let's talk about the positives of that Leicester performance. My word, that I mean, they could quite happily upload that to some exotic video websites, and some people would be quite happy in a darkened room on their own.
It's a they were phenomenal.
It was so. I know you don't like stats, Tim, but one stat just to highlight.
I don't not like stats. It's just that just tackle not... one. There's so much more to it. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, they are. But one stat to highlight a truly exceptional individual performance. James Lowe carried for 60 metres more than the entire Wasps team.
Oh, is this right? Wow. Wasps did not make a single line break?
Yeah, in the whole game. They got into the 22 once in the match.
Yes.
That's
brutal,
isn't
it?
This is Wasps we're talking about.
That is brutal. Hey, they got 3 points. 11 minutes in.
Yes. They weren't nilled.
James Lowe's a big lad.
Yeah, big, strong boy.
Like, you know that kind of depth that you get when you get a bit older, when you've got a good decade of weights in you, that kind of depth. He's about 6 foot tall, but he's just a big lad.
Yeah, he is. You can tell.
And quick, and can change direction. And you put all those things together.
Yeah.
So yeah, his individual stats were phenomenal. He had a superb performance.
So just after half time, they scored an amazing try. Do you see that? Like some sort of launch play off a line out.
Yeah.
And they miss the two forwards have held out to Sexton back inside to Lowe. Glorious.
Yeah.
Utterly glorious.
Oh, at that point
was that the Tig Furlong step and
no offload? That was after that. That Tig Furlong. But after that, so at that point, they scored one try just before half time. They'd scored, I think, one try just before, two tries just after, in that period where Sopoanga was off. So they hit their winning bonus point, their four try bonus point then. And after that, it was almost like a training game for both teams. It was just
a
procession.
If you worked as hard as Wasps, right, and then if you worked as hard as Wasps and then you start shipping points, you just can't continue that work rate.
No, no.
If it was close, I reckon they probably would have. But what's the point?
Yeah, once you've already conceded after 44 minutes, whatever it was, you've conceded four tries, you're losing bonus point. You've never come close to scoring a try of your own.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's game over.
I just can't... What I struggle with this, like specifically what you said, Tim, about how hard the players were breathing, is if you're working that hard as a Wasps team, and you've been, you know, other than that Cronin try, which shouldn't have been a try because he was offside, right? And that yellow card, you're pretty much in this. Because if you don't concede the yellow card, you probably don't concede the try, and Cronin's try shouldn't have been. You should be 3-0 up, really. What I don't get is, why aren't Leinster equally as knackered? I mean, what is it that Leinster... I mean, I simply don't believe that they're that much fitter than Wasps.
There is a thing about constantly defending.
Yeah.
I think they will be a good chunk fitter, but it's also they're a better unit. And you've spoken in the past about Wasps' systems not being... Well, you said they had no systems at all.
It's kind of.
If their systems aren't as good and their players aren't reading the game as well, then they are running more metres than they need to in order to get into a position
but
to
do you not
defend.
Think psychologically, if you played a half of rugby and you think you're really good, Leinster obviously think they're really good, and you've come up against a wall of 130 tackles. At some point, you're not thinking, God, these guys are good. What's it going to take to break? Why does the psychological damage only happen to Wasps? Because in a way, I kind of think that Wasps would come off that field and say, hey, boys, they've got nothing.
Maybe they did, but then conceding two tries in 4 minutes after half-time.
I actually think, based on what you... I actually think Leinster... I mean, obviously, their players are incredibly skillful, great rugby brains. They've got systems which they all buy into and work. But I actually think they are fitter than anybody. And it was really interesting. You look at a lot of their guys, they're not that big. They're not as big as I thought they were going to be. And that's not a criticism because I think actually they are like Josh van der Fleer was one, for example. I sort of stood next to him and went, I was surprised me how not big he was for an international back row. And he's quite a small guy, relatively speaking, which I wouldn't say, you know, he could have me. But I just think, but one thing that was really noticeable when you're there is how fast they all get up off the deck and get back into position. They are up and sprinting back to reload and get in position. to resource the next phase,
right.
JB.
Where's this come from, Tim? Can you explain it? I've played rugby for... I'm still playing rugby. 20 years I've been playing this game in some form or another. I have never resourced a ball. Phil, have you ever resourced a ball?
I don't know what resourced means. Is it resourced or resourced?
I don't know. What would be the difference?
It's like resourced. It's like an HR. It's like rugby teams are got a recruitment consultant in there somewhere. The scrum half. we need to employ a couple more people into this ruck. Get in here, lads.
Yeah, resourcing the ball is. I mean, but you're not even resourcing the ball. Then you're resourcing the ruck. Aren't you? I mean, I can understand resourcing the scrum, resourcing the ball. I don't know what it means. I can't help you.
It's some of the current lingo. It'll be another word in a couple of months' time.
With your fast and loose definition of the word mistake, I've got no idea anymore, Jay.
Yeah.
No. Right, something I mentioned before. Nathan Hughes' disciplinary hearing.
Oh, my word.
What is going on?
So, he's... at a disciplinary hearing, and at 8:30 p.m. he tweets, "What a joke." I'm just wondering if he was if he'd been given an advanced viewing of The Apprentice and was, you know, talking about the candidates maybe while he was waiting for his. How do I mean, you know, he could have been. I don't know. He might have just made up a joke and thought, well, "What a joke that is! I'm so pleased with myself."
So when he tweets that, I'm still
so he's an hour and a half after his. Hearing started.
Yeah,
he tweets, "What a joke," and then 3 hours later, it's announced that the disciplinary hearing has been postponed, or certainly will be reheard in not less than 7 days' time.
Right. So why did he play on the weekend?
And he's suspended between the two.
So they like.
So he is suspended until a satisfactory conclusion of a future hearing.
So hang on. If he, for instance, gets cleared of this,
yeah,
what happens then?
Because he was going to get suspended anyway. So,
but we don't know that. George Smith wasn't.
Obviously, they didn't give the actual verdict from what they were going to say at the last one because they want to factor in something else, which I'm sure is this tweet. So it'll just be taken off if he got a whatever 3 week or 5 week or whatever ban. They'll just say, right, we've already served one, so four more to go.
But if he gets George Smith's lawyer,
yeah,
or George Smith himself,
quite
with some biscuits.
Well, they've obviously decided on what he was going to get for what they were there to do. But I just want to say, what are these guys being paid by the hour? Because it wasn't an hour and a half after he got there for his hearing. It was an hour and a half after his hearing had finished. How long does it take to work out how many weeks to give someone for a very, very innocuous little jab when he's on the floor? Yeah. Something stupid. But how long does that take?
Well, I just need to point out, I know some people who do the disciplinary and they do not get paid. I just want to make that clear because I was told off for saying that. And, you know, fine. On the other hand, just get it done. I mean, unless there's something really... If it's to do this tweet, it is unacceptable. You need to sort it out there.
Because as Phil said, that happened later. There was still about... Nathan Hughes was there for in the building for over 2 hours before he tweeted over a little tiny innocuous little jab. Surely it's... You walk in, you go, "Did you do it, Nathan?" "Yeah, I did. I'm sorry." "Well, you've got previous a little bit. We're gonna have to give you this. There you go. There's your suspension. Off you go." What's taking all this time? Anyway, that's no excuse for sending a tweet.
Did he get dealt with by the referee for this? Because I have no idea what the incident is referring to. Right.
No.
But if he does get dealt, if he gets a red card, does he also then get suspended as well?
You just get the suspense from the red card, which would vary depending on the offence.
Right. This is where it baffles me.
Because the red card is a conclusion of guilt almost, and then it's a disciplinary of the length of the ban.
Yes.
Whereas here, because there was no conclusion of guilt because there was no red card, you've got to conclude the guilt and then you've got to determine the length of the ban.
I think if you suspend the disciplinary, right, you should play. You can only be suspended after a disciplinary.
Well, so if he's found not guilty now, if George Smith comes in there.
So
but if
clearly,
he was, so he should then get like a free hit.
Ooh. But by the time, no, so I know, gets but by the, free, yeah, no, he should.
A free jab.
How?
A free jab, yeah.
If he gets found innocent, what? I mean, do Leinster just have 5 points knocked off their points differential?
No. The hypothetical situation you're coming up with is completely irrelevant because
I know.
Hearing people already knew obviously that he was going to be banned, but I agree with you. Like in theory, it's
so what if they know? I just
regret the fact that like have you seen the jab on Lewis Ludlow?
No,
it's so petty. I mean, petty of Nathan Hughes to do it at all, and petty that anyway, whatever.
No, yeah.
Just get them done.
Yeah. So let's talk about another number eight, another England number eight.
I didn't see this, but I know who you're going to talk about.
Who actually had a very good game.
Yep.
Carried hard, carried very well over and over again, and looks like he's back to probably his 2015 form.
2015. Is this when he was running on treadmills with snorkels?
Yes, that's the one.
Matt Kvesic.
I've never seen Matt Kvesic play as well as he is doing this season, so it can't be Matt Kvesic. Ben Morgan. Ben Morgan had a very good game in a tough game against that monstrous cast pack. He carried superbly and he kept going as well.
You have to tell me about it because I literally was only interested in Newcastle and the amount of money that I was about to win if they won.
No, just very good. It was a solid overall Gloucester performance. They made it a bit nervy towards the end. Sippers and Morgan were two of the, Atkinson.
He's class, isn't he?
Were some of the standout performers in the first half. But they did make it in typical Gloucester fashion. They made it difficult for themselves as the game went on and allowed Cast to get back into it a little bit.
So they're in good position though because they've got to play Exeter twice. But I don't think they should fear Munster. Maybe Castaway is difficult.
It depends. So they'll play Castaway at the end as the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Gloucester will. So it depends what position Cast are in.
Just remember this.
If Cast can't qualify, Cast will be sending out a second team.
That's a great point. So just remember this, though, that Cast were the team that made Leicester Tigers look like world beaters last season.
So Cast, if they turn up, they can be phenomenal. Hark back to the top 14 final where they... beat up that enormous Montpellier team. If they don't want to play, if they're not on it, then you can hammer them.
Yeah, agreed.
Phil, why don't you do your rugby social?
Yes, very good point.
Oh, actually, sell some razors, Tim, quickly whilst he's doing this.
Well, I'm getting
all
geared
right,
up.
You get rugby social sorted, and I'll let you know about an amazing offer that you can get through us with Cornerstone, who are the manufacturers of, we believe, the finest razors that you could possibly get and which can be yours for less than the cost of a pint at the Dirty Onion in Belfast.
Nice.
Cornerstone razors, 6 of them in a presentation box delivered to you. And because you listen to us, you could also get yourself with that order a free aluminium engraved shaft, German precision engineered, weighty, heavy, not like these plastic ones that other companies that have come along and trying to copy what Cornerstone are offering.
God, no.
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 You need proper manufactured goods, and that's what you get with Cornerstone. You can get that offer £4 for that, with no obligation to carry on, but we think you want to anyway. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or...
Egg 10, checkout.
There we go. Rugby social.
Love this.
So I've been scouring mostly Instagram, actually.
Instagram? Ghosting. Wow.
Instagram, yeah.
Whose account, Phil? Weirdo.
I've got a ghost account.
Have you?
That I use for my Instagram.
So secretive.
You know me, I just like to...
He needs to have somewhere to, to slide DMs into.
Is this like the professional web players? Did I tell you my theory that they should have two Instagram accounts?
I'm sure they probably do. So
James O'Connor has been putting loads of stuff on Instagram recently, and lots of people, mostly women, have been putting up, "Hi James, loving your stuff. Would love to collaborate with you." And like, obviously, he can't return via James O'Connor, but a secret account you could probably
collaborate is one of my favourite euphemisms.
Let's collaborate.
Right. Mostly Instagram that I've been scouring, been a bit of a voyeur.
Mm.
So 5 questions. Multiple options each time, and who wants to go first?
Who wants to go first?
Tim. Tim gets first pick. Okay. Question number one. Which Southern Hemisphere-born Saracen showed off his new pair of R.M. Williams boots?
Oh, nice!
This week. Was it Brad Barrett, Michael Rhodes, Will Skelton, or Marcelo Bosch?
I know.
Tim first.
Oh, goddamn.
Hang
on, so what was the question? Which?
Southern Hemisphere-born Saracen.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe it will be tied to some kind of endorsement, and Marcelo Bosch is a very handsome man, so I'll go for Bosch.
If I was going to model my boots, I would pay money to Marcelo Bosch to do that. However, they're an Australian company, and no one is more Australian than Will Skelton.
Yeah.
You're both incorrect.
What? Oh.
They are an Australian company, but it was Brad Barrett
was it?
Who'd been gifted a pair.
God
Brad
damn.
Barrett is outraged that you described him as a Southern Hemisphere
yeah, what?
Player. So, England international Brad Barrett.
Southern Hemisphere born. Yeah, because Michael Rhodes is also in there, who has got aspirations of playing for England. Question number two. Which England international Gloucester player was filmed wandering round the Gloucester strength and conditioning area in just his boxers and a pair of lifting shoes? Was it Danny Cipriani?
No.
Charlie Sharples?
No.
Matt Banahan?
Incorrect.
Or Ben Morgan?
Ben Morgan for me, please.
JB picks Ben Morgan.
That feels like a Banners move. For the Bants. For the boys.
For the lads. For the Bants. Tim goes into the lead.
This is a joke.
Yes.
Absolute joke.
Question number three.
So he had all his tats out on show.
Absolutely.
Have he and his brother finished their combined tattoo yet?
Is it even true?
I'm sure it is true. Isn't it a Spitfires or a Spitfire and a Hurricane?
I thought it was a
like
cannon
that.
firing
a cannonball.
So it's the case that if they stand next to each other, it will be one picture.
Yes.
That's
what I understand it to be.
Yeah. Banahan, who was wearing... So did you notice the... It was mentioned in comms, but the Gloucester bench split.
No. Oh, yeah, he's wearing...
Banahan's was back row.
So Banners, so it was a 4-4 split in terms of four forwards and four backs, but it was four front row forwards, then Matt Banahan, and then three regular backs. So
yes.
Banners, so I'm assuming there was two hookers, one of whom would have been covering back row, which would mean that Banners might have actually been covering second row.
Well, it makes sense.
There was an
issue.
That's
where he started.
Yeah, but he actually did come onto the wing for Marshall, I think it was.
If you want to prolong your career, it's not bad to have some flexibility, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Question number three. Tim with a 1-0 lead. Question number three. Which TV character did James Haskell compare girls who've had fake lips and fake cheekbone implant type things to? Was it Miranda from Miranda? Was it Crichton from Red Dwarf? Was it Krusty the Clown from The Simpsons? Or was it Tony Soprano from The Sopranos? Tim, you are first.
Those are some great options. I'm thinking you're not going to say Crichton, because that's a curveball you put in there, because we've said that Jacob Stockdale's head is reminiscent of Crichton before. I will go with Tony Soprano.
Crichton.
JB levels it.
Yes!
No way!
He put a picture up of Crichton and said something like, girls, when you have too much lip filler, cheek filler, face filler, whatever it is.
What a woman hater.
Question number four. Wasps. Expensive stuff. What's the phrase?
Hold on. Does that mean, Phil, that you're saying that your beloved Jacob Stockdale looks like a girl with cheek implants? Is that what you're saying, Phil?
I'm merely quoting James Haskell.
Sorry, question four.
Question four. Expensive Wasps star Lima Sopwanga. What's the correct phrase, Tim?
Expensively acquired.
Yeah. Expensively acquired Wasp star Lima Sopwanga is settling into life in Leamington Spa.
How nice. Royal Leamington Spa.
Royal Leamington Spa. But what recent purchases is he amazed are so cheap compared to back home? Is it flat whites and espressos? Is it avocados and blueberries? Is it consumer electricals? For example, TVs and games consoles? Or is it IKEA flat pack furniture?
Oh.
Now,
it's me first, isn't it?
It is JB first.
IKEA flat pack furniture.
JB goes IKEA.
I was going to go with that. So I'll go avocados because they are crazy expensive in Australia.
Australia and New Zealand.
New Zealand. Oh yeah, Australia. I was thinking. I'll go avocados anyway.
Tim takes the lead.
God damn.
2-1.
What?
So we know he has been shopping in IKEA, but he certainly didn't this week comment on the expense of IKEA. He commented on it's a very weird tweet about how cheap avocados and blueberries are over here.
Yeah, interesting.
He also tweeted that he didn't realize none of his teammates told him that he needed euros to pay for a taxi.
Oh, that's a tweet that I saw. Yeah, very funny.
And so Tim has got a 2-1 lead going into the final question, which is fitting that it is a Sale Sharks based question.
Oh, here we go. Come on, Beardmore.
But Tim gets the first pick on this. So, question number 5. What did Sam James and some of the other Sale players do to relax before their big game in Perpignan? Did they go to...
Is it the Worcester Academy House?
Check out the Wi-Fi. Did they go to a zombie-themed escape room? Did they go to a cat cafe? Did they go to a local theme park to go on the roller coasters? Or did they go to a spa for a massage and a facial? Tim, what do you think?
So Perpignan, south of France. It's like the Basque. Is that Basque territory?
May as well be.
Doesn't really matter. I'll go fairground.
Fairground, JB.
Cat cafe.
I can tell you, a fairground is incorrect. A cat cafe is correct.
Yes.
Wow.
Which means we need a tie break.
Okay. Brilliant, Phil. Very well constructed quiz.
I was hoping you wouldn't draw level.
That's fine.
Why just lie and say I lost?
We can draw.
Okay.
There we go. What a great game of Rugby Social. <Da-da-da-da-da>. Fantastic. Well done, Phil. Right.
Do you know where the Sale players went after their victory in Perpignan?
Do you know what? I know so many things from this weekend that I feel like I've heard it, but I can't. I don't know. Go on.
They got a bus.
Yes.
South.
Yes. Yes, I do know this.
To your favourite city?
Did they Nice? No, Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Oh.
Barcelona.
Yeah, I knew they did something fun. Damn, god damn. That's cool. Right, okay.
There you go.
Hey, boys, we've been recording for an hour now. Shall we call it a day there? And we'll put the rest of the Heineken Cup and our predictions for next week on, well, tomorrow's podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do that.
You right with that, Tim?
Yeah, I'm going to have to be in the TMO shipping container still. I'm down south for 2 more days, so I can't get to the dungeon tomorrow.
Fantastic. Right, okay, well, there you go. There's an hour and 1 minute of content. Be grateful. We will see you tomorrow with the rest of this podcast. So until then, go find us on our various social media channels and let the boys play. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.